It is the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99. The game on this Wednesday. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn joins us live in about 47 minutes from now. So if you're just getting in your car for your commute today, think about that. Coming up around 7:45 this morning, Dan Quinn will join us live, and we'll get the very latest from the Falcons head coach about the health of the team. Will Matt Bryant be playing this week? Will Rocky Alford be back? You know, one of the good things that kind of bodes well for the second half of the season, Hugh, and we have to kind of hope and just kind of, you know, cross our fingers a little bit, is that the Falcons have gotten through the worst of the injury bug and that they're going to be the beneficiary going forward, and, you know, that they're not going to be dealing with any major injuries from this point
Hopefully.
On.
Hopefully. That's the case, John. I mean, you know, for as many injuries as this team had to deal with at the beginning of the season, to get to this halfway point and you're still alive, your dream is still alive, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that you know, should be shouted a little bit louder, because Coach Manuel has been able to, I mean, for lack of a better term, piecemeal this defense together,
mm-hmm.
and put together a decent unit under the circumstances. You know, with guys being hurt, guys missing time and things of that nature, for him to be able to put this defense together and keep these playoffs hopes alive, that's pretty impressive.
And you've seen the growth of the young players that they had, you know, to get on the same page and things of that nature. Now they've got a half season underneath their belt. The Aluakins, the KZs, these young players that had to come along in a real big hurry, and except, you know, there was no, you know, at the beginning of the year, prior to anything happening, there was no desire to have Foye Aluakin be anything but a sub this year, that for DeMonte Casey to be anything but a sub this year. And these guys are not only pressed into duty, but they've got to be your full-time starters.
Pressure makes diamonds.
You know?
And you find a few diamonds in the rough, John. I mean, they're getting better. They got better every week. And I even throw Duke Riley into that mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, can.
Duke was having a little bit of a tough time at it, man. People were wondering why he was out there, things of that nature. Duke, when you become one of the guys that's talked about at the beginning of the season a lot in a negative way,
mm-hmm.
to becoming one of those guys that nobody really has anything to say about, that's a good sign. That means that you're not really wowing anybody right now. You're doing your job, but you're not doing your job. You know what I mean? I mean, you're not making yourself look worse.
Mm-hmm.
You've gotten better. Bottom line, and so that's what it is with this defense right now. They've gotten a lot better when they've been pressed into duty.
All right, we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons and the Cleveland Browns, kind of looking forward to the game. Talk a little bit about what they're going to face in Cleveland. And one of the questions that we have this morning is, what is your biggest concern, your biggest fear going into this game against Cleveland? You have a young team that Cleveland has lost four in a row, Hugh. I'll give you a few options. You have Baker Mayfield, you know, growing as a quarterback. He started, of course, the season as the backup to Tyrod Taylor. Now he has taken over the reins. And at some point, you feel like, at least I do, that if you look at Baker Mayfield, that like Jared Goff, like other quarterbacks, that it will catch on for him. The guy's got talent. And it will just, you know, that light bulb will go off.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, John. The thing that when you go into a game like this, never underestimate your opponent. That's the biggest thing. And I think that's what Coach Quinn has been preaching all week, all year long, is never underestimate anybody. Even though Cleveland Browns are reeling right now, they've been in some close games. They went toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh Steelers at the beginning of the season.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about their fortunes could be a little different. The ball bounces a different way for them. So they're a team that's still they're dangerous. They're a competitive squad. They got some players on that defense. They can get after the quarterback. They can get after the quarterback. So you want to go in there. You want to give them respect that you would give any professional football team, even though their record indicates that they're not that good. You still want to respect that, because you don't want to be the team that everything is going right for you, and you go in there and have a misstep against Cleveland.
All right, so that's one potential one. Is that Baker Mayfield could be a big concern. Ogunjobi and Ogba and Myles Garrett, that defensive line has got some serious talent to it. They're young, they're athletic, and they are young too.
Yeah, they can get after it, man. They can get after it, and that's what you're looking at. You don't want to, again, you don't want to get caught slipping. You don't want to get caught slipping against that defense, that front four. You don't want to get caught slipping against them. And, again, Baker Mayfield can make some plays. He can definitely make some plays.
All right, so you got that going for you. Now, I'll give you my biggest concern and my biggest fear. It is my belief, and this is just a belief that I have, being the driver of the bandwagon and the keeper of the Kool-Aid, that the Atlanta Falcons are about to take flight and that they're going to start not just winning games, but they're going to go into Cleveland and win big. They're going to come home against Dallas and win big. And we're going to be Thanksgiving down in New Orleans, and they're going to be rolling, all right? That's my belief. But we have seen this before from the Atlanta Falcons. We saw it last year at home against Miami where they were, you know, they had the 17-0 lead, right? And then they blew it in the second half against the Dolphins. We saw it in that game against the Bills where they should have been the victors against the Bills and lost to Rod Taylor and the Bills, right? Is that the Falcons lose for no other reason than it's Sunday and it's the NFL. And all of this good momentum that you've built up hits kind of a brick brown wall in Cleveland. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think that's going to happen, John. If they get beat, they get beat. It's not because nobody's ready to play or anything like that. If the Atlanta Falcons get beat this weekend, they just got beat by a better team that day. That's what that is. I can't see Coach Quinn allowing complacency to creep into this team right now, especially with everything that they've been through. That would be ridiculous. If something like that happened, that would be ridiculous, especially – with everything that you fought for, everything that you fought through to get to this point. Nah, I can't see that. Right, he's going to have them ready.
All right, so he's going to have them ready. So, because really, if the Falcons lose the game, the Falcons are going to have to lose the game. I don't see Cleveland beating the Falcons. You see what I'm saying? If the Falcons lose, I just don't see because I don't see it.
I can't see, again, John, I cannot see this Atlanta Falcons team having a misstep like that. Going out there and having miscues of stuff that shoots yourself in the foot. Basically, that's what you from what we're talking. What I hear
penalties,
you saying,
turnovers.
I don't see them shooting themselves in the foot.
You know, missed tackles.
If you shoot yourself in the foot, that I can't see this coaching staff doing.
Yeah, because the one thing I don't want to see them take a step back in the tackling. I mean, we saw how poor the tackling was, and in the last couple of games, we've seen them rally to the ball and tackle better than I've seen them tackle in a long time. And I don't want to see that take a big step backwards.
I don't see that happening. It's too late in the game. And if that happens, that's an indictment on the coaching staff. I don't see that happening. I do not see that happening. I can't see this team regressing this late in the game. I just can't. You're talking about stuff that – everything that you're talking about what was going on when you had guys pressed into duty at the beginning of the season, missed tackles, missed assignments, looking like a fire drill out there because nobody knows where to line up and stuff like that. You're beyond that. You should be beyond that. You're at the point now where you're starting to settle in, and now when you hear players say the game is starting to slow down for you, for you, Luke, and the game is slowed down for him. It's slowing down for Duke Riley because they're in it now, John. You're 8 games in. If you're still making those mistakes 8 games in, you probably shouldn't be playing in the NFL. I mean, that's how I feel about that now. Right now is the time of the year where every team, this is where you start to separate yourselves. And if the Atlanta Falcons lose to the Cleveland Browns, they just got beat. It shouldn't be about.
And I don't
see
that happening.
All right, well, there it is. Yeah. I don't see it happening.
So what's your biggest – but if you have a concern, what's your biggest concern?
Like I said, John, I don't – overlooking this team. Just overlooking them and saying, okay, we've arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that happening. I don't see Coach Quinn coaching a team that overlooks anybody in the NFL, regardless of what their record is.
Yeah, Wendy, do you have a big concern for this game going into Cleveland? I mean, you're 4.5 to 5-point favorite in this game. The betting line seems to be that the Falcons are going to go up there and win this game by double digits.
I mean, the only concern I would have is just overlooking the stats and a statistically bad team right now in the Browns. That would be my biggest concern, or even Jarvis Landry. I mean, if you look at Jarvis Landry's stats, averaging 10.5 yards, per catch, that would be my only concern. But I'm not concerned about this team, especially the way they're rolling right now.
All right, let me throw something else out here. I've thrown out Baker Mayfield. I've thrown out, you know, the complacency of the Falcons. AT, that may be an interesting story because I'm interested in your opinion too. But let me throw something else out. You don't know what you're getting here. Hugh Jackson, Todd Haley, that was one team. You've got Greg Williams in there. He got nothing to lose. I mean, could he just roll the dice and suddenly we see stuff that we've never seen before and they just are chucking it all over the field, for example, or they're doing something weird?
Yeah, I think you can. I'm not sure if we'll see it this Sunday because anytime an interim coach comes in, it seems like players, they're not only playing for their respective jobs, but they want to shine in front of him so they can either remain with that team or get more opportunities. And so you can always have a chance of something wild happening, but given the way Atlanta's been playing of late, you would expect that this game is easily in the win column.
Yeah, am I supposed to think, though, Hugh, I mean, about Greg Williams coming in, that he might just be taking, you know, fake field goals, fake punts, you know, triple reverses, Philly specials, things of that nature?
He might. He's going to pull out all the stops, John. I mean, there's no question about that. You look at the game last week, their receiving core was pedestrian at best. They only threw for like 180 yards. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, coming into this game, knowing what Atlanta is, knowing that their high-powered offense is going to put points on the board, I'm thinking the first drive, the first time I touched the ball, I could see some tomfoolery in there. I could see some trickery. I can definitely see on third and long taking a shot. I see them every possession for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to try to get some kind of points out of it. That's what I see from this game, because you know that this Atlanta Falcons offense looks like it's about ready to roll.
It's about ready to burst open.
Yeah,
right?
And it's about ready to roll. So you want to try to get as many points as you can. You want to try to get that jumping off. Like, every time you touch the rock, you want to put some points on it.
Let's ask everybody out there what your biggest concern is. You can go to our Twitter at 929TheGame or to our Facebook. We're discussing it with you, and we'll chat about it. There's big threads up at both at 929TheGame on Twitter and on our Facebook about what your biggest concern or fear is of the game against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. It is going to be a huge Sunday on Sports Radio 929TheGame. As big a day as this station has had, and we'll probably have some bigger ones coming up, but boy, when you're talking back-to-back-to-back on this station, flagship station of the Falcons, flagship station of Atlanta United, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks, our coverage begins with the Wade Ford tailgate show at 9 a.m. on Sunday. That goes into the Bud Light countdown to kickoff at 11, and of course a 1 o'clock kick in Cleveland for the Falcons and Browns. As soon as that ends, we'll have the postgame show, and that'll carry you to the 5 o'clock pregame show for Atlanta United. Then live, Atlanta United from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United against New York City Football Club, leg two of the opening round, and we all know what that means. We'll talk with Greg Garza a little bit later in the show at 8:40 this morning about what that means. But United and NYCFC, that's a 5:30 kickoff. Then after that, we go to the Hawks and the Lakers against LeBron in L.A. So all live, Falcons-Browns from Cleveland, from Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United, and NYCFC in the playoffs. Then live from Staples Center in Los Angeles with the Hawks against LeBron all Sunday on Sports Radio 99 The Game. How cool is that? That's a big, big, big Sunday.
It's a long day. I've been saying that for the last couple of days. That's a long day. That's a long day of sitting down. You know, you got to, you know, if you're one of those individuals that like to get prepared for your Monday on a Sunday, you gotta properly utilize your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means between breaks, you got to go, you know, do what you got to do. So go to the grocery store Saturday, so you ain't got to go nowhere. Go to the grocery store Saturday so you can do that meal prep Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday going to be something, because both Tech and Georgia play at night on Saturday night.
Early Saturday.
Yeah, go early. All we can say, some of the news and notes around the NFL. The Dallas Cowboys might be in more trouble than we think, even if Jerry Jones is saying, nah, we're okay. Okay. All you want to know, and we should know this too, because the next game after Cleveland for us, the Dallas Cowboys. That's next.
This Sunday is Big Sunday.
Touchdown, Atlanta!
It's our Falcons.
Followed by Atlanta United playoff game number two. And it's Hawks and Lakers. All three games exclusively here.
Score! Big Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Stand by, because we could have news breaking today in the National Football League. Oh, yeah, we could. It's kind of keeping our eyes and ears open about stuff around the league. A couple of things you need to know as you get towards this next week of the NFL, which will begin, of course, tomorrow night. Number one, tomorrow night, big game for the both teams, because right now both playoff teams, the Panthers and Steelers, which we will have for you on 92.9 The Game, but also maybe a big game for the Atlanta Falcons, too, to keep your eyes on this. I'll explain that in a moment. Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So, if this game tomorrow night, and we'll certainly talk about it tomorrow, Hugh, but this Panthers-Steelers game, if the Steelers can win and the Falcons beat the Browns, the Falcons are a game behind Carolina. Let's not forget that they have, at the moment, the tiebreaker over the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, because they beat the Panthers.
So, yeah. You know, if you crawl to within a game of them, you start to put some pressure on, you know, because it's not, to me, it's not just enough to try to get to the wild card. I think the path to the wild card is going to go through first and foremost through your own division, and that's through Carolina. You got, in other words, I think if the Falcons really desire, let's say that they can't catch swamp people. If you really desire to be something, then I think you have to finish second in the division.
I think, John, I understand what you're saying, but I think the biggest thing is you have to take care of your business. I mean, you can't – I mean, I understand what where you're going with looking at who's playing who, but as a me channeling my former football player in me, I think the biggest thing you have to do is take care of your business. I mean, and that's it. Like, this week is Cleveland. Then next week is Dallas. You know, I can't worry about – I mean, I watched the game, and, you know, you would probably take notes, competitive notes against Carolina because you have to see him again. But as far as all of that other stuff is concerned, I'm worrying about me taking care of my business, because if I went out and I look up, then I know I'm in a good situation. I can't worry about, you know, hoping that Carolina loses or crosses my fingers and hope that the Saints have a misstep or something like that. I have to take care of my business.
Right. 'Cause
if I don't do that, then it doesn't matter what they're doing.
I understand that. At the same time, you know, I mean, just being the fan of me, I'm rooting against the Carolina Panthers because I want the Steelers to win the game. And, you know, it would, you know,
I would
benefit us if that happened. Just the same way that when Tennessee beat Dallas on Monday night, it benefited us.
I will say this. The one thing that's held true in the NFC South for, like, the last 3 years, they've always had to play significant games at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
because of the way the schedule has been set up. You always – like, those games at the end of the year, they matter. Like, it's no sitting around, you know, clinching home field. Like, you got to play it out. You got to go ahead and handle your business
mm-hmm.
at the end of the year.
No, I understand.
You know what I mean? Because it means something. It means something to you. So, yeah, I think that it's going to come down to that.
And the Falcons end the season by playing Carolina – at Carolina in game 15, and then, of course, the final game will be against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Do Carolina and the Saints play the final game of the year? Let's check on that. No, they don't? Yeah, they do? Carolina and the Saints play each other at the end of the year? Okay, that'll be interesting. The Falcons, and while Hugh's right, I want to do a little peeking around the corner here. And I'm not looking past the Cleveland Browns. You've won three in a row. You got to get to four, right? And that's absolutely critical. And we'll be talking about the Cleveland game, of course, with Dan Quinn in 18 minutes or so with John and Hugh when the coach joins us live. But Dallas is the next game, and that's a game at home a week from Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Now, the Dallas Cowboys are 3-5. Jerry Jones yesterday talking about Dak Prescott and about his quarterback's future with the team.
Dak is completely capable of looking at what the situation was last night. You don't have anybody that's more capable to look at that and take it to the practice field and take it to learn from that for the next ball game.
Is he your quarterback for the next 10 years?
Dak is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. He's young, and he's going to get extended.
He's going to get extended, Hugh. This is Dak Prescott now currently 27th in the NFL in passing yards. That puts him behind Baker Mayfield. It puts him behind Blake Bortles, 400 yards behind Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles, you're not exactly lighting it up.
That's why they went out and got Amari Cooper. And you saw a glimpse of what Amari Cooper could potentially be. I think that some would even point that that offensive line for the Dallas Cowboys is a little, well, it's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what it used to be. And you saw, I remember watching that game the other night, John. I saw a lot of holding. Saw a lot of people fighting for their lives as far as trying not to get their quarterback killed. Saw a little bit of that.
Yeah, last time we saw them, that's what happened. Remember Adrian Claiborne?
Yeah. So I saw a little bit of that. So, you know, there's that. And they believe in Dak and Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott's had a down year as well
mm-hmm.
because of that offensive line. So they're looking at it as if we had a better offensive line, which when Dak was playing, they had a pretty decent line. When he first started playing, they had a pretty decent line. They're looking at it like that. Like, we just need to put some people in front of him.
And Troy Aikman is going, man of mercy, this is my old ball club is in disarray and needs a complete overhaul.
This team, over a long period of time, has been what it's been. And it hasn't always mattered who the head coach has been. And so, to me, if you're asking me, I'd say there has to be a complete overhaul of the entire organization. You just can't simply replace head coaches and say, now it's going to be better. No, it's been shown that it's not better.
Yeah, well, and that means you got to have a new owner because this ain't working with
Jerry. Yeah, that's what I got from it. And I know a lot of people wanted to point out, like, he was throwing Jason Garrett under the bus and things of that nature. He was talking about everybody. To me, he was talking about from
Jerry
top
Jones.
To bottom.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure Jerry probably didn't want to hear that. Didn't want to hear that truism that Troy dropped. But that's the fact of the matter. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys and you look at the ownership of the Dallas Cowboys, there's always been some kind of rift with the head coach and the owner.
Always.
And I think the only reason why Jason Garrett has lasted as long as he's lasted is because, for lack of a better word, he's a yes man. He's a guy that's sitting up in there and he's like, yeah, cool. You know, he used to play for the Cowboys. Won a ring with Troy. He was Troy Aikman's backup. So he's one of those cats that I'm happy to be here. I mean, I'm head coaching of the team I used to play for. I mean, there ain't a lot of people that can say that. And he's there. And he's in a position where he's almost been coaching there for like 10 years.
I know.
And they have been mediocre for 10 years. But I think now it's starting to get to the point where in Dallas it's starting to be a little bit of an uproar. People are getting tired of that. They're getting tired of seeing the same thing. And they're getting tired of talking about back in the 90s when it used to be good for them. They're ready for something different.
Well, let's hope that their troubles continue. They play the Eagles this week before they come face the Falcons week from Sunday. By the way, the Panthers and Steelers Thursday night. The Swampers play the Bengals this week in Cincinnati. The Bucks are at home against that Redskins team we just saw. Falcons head to Cleveland. Head coach Dan Quinn joins us live next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to the game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Beautiful sunshiny day in Atlanta. Falcons head coach Dan Quinn going to join us live in just a few minutes. We'll talk with the coach about the game against Cleveland, try and get an update on the team's health and much more as the Falcons go for win number 4 in a row. And I do find it interesting. Look, I don't care. John and Hugh on the morning show. Hugh, I don't care about power polls in the NFL. We have a playoff. But having said that, I did think it was kind of interesting that I saw that the New Orleans Saints went to number 1 in ESPN's new power poll and that the Falcons were number 16, which is fine. I mean, I think the Falcons are 4-4 and the Saints are, 7-1? And that makes sense. But I do think it's sort of interesting when you look at the power polls and you think, you know, that, oh, the Saints are so good and the Falcons are, eh. I think you have to take teams from where they are and in any moment in their season and kind of do a flash thing. And I think right now you can look at Drew Brees and look, they may even be now, after beating the Rams, the favorites to win the NFC. And I wouldn't want to play them were I another NFC team. But equally, or right behind them, or maybe equally, I wouldn't want to play the Atlanta Falcons. That might be the second team in the entire NFC I wouldn't want to play. If the Falcons are doing what I think they're doing, which is about to blast off, you don't want to face Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Mohamed Sanu and that attack.
The offense looks like it's about to hit its stride. There's no question about that. You look at what Calvin Ridley was able to do last week. You look at that offense as a whole. Julio Jones getting his first touchdown of the year. Yeah, I would say that, John. I would definitely say that. But with all teams that are at the top of the heat right now, there are some concerns about that defense, everybody's defense at this point. So, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with you putting that out there like that, that the Falcons are a team that they are forced to be reckoned with, mm-hmm, no question.
Right, and the team that you don't want to face. And, again, it's just a flash thing week to week to week. And I'd be really curious as to what they're saying up at Cleveland. And we will get the Cleveland side of the story later this week. Of course, you focus it on your own team. And so they'll look at the Falcons and they'll say the same thing that everybody else says. Oh, Matt Ryan's great. And Julio Jones coming into town, you got to slow those guys down. I am kind of curious where they say the direction of this franchise is going to, because you fire your coach in the middle of the year, like Nick Chubb was talking about, that, you know, because Greg Williams is not going to be the answer, Hugh. He's not.
Doesn't look like it. Anything can change. Still some football left to be played. Some minds might be changed if they turn the corner. Hopefully it's not this week that they turn the corner. Cleveland has some good football players on it, John. There's no question about that. They have some ballers. They just haven't put it together.
Well, they're just really young.
Yeah, but again, They have some athletes. They've been drafted in the top five for forever. So it's kind of the same situation that the Jacksonville Jaguars are in for so many years. They got to get good at some point. You just don't want it to be this weekend.
Yeah, well, for example, I'll give you an example. Myles Garrett. Nobody is questioning whether or not – remember there was a time that Myles Garrett was drafted. There were people starting to question a little bit whether Myles Garrett was really the number one pick in the NFL draft. Well, we've answered that now because that man has come into his own. He is right there with the Aaron Donalds of the world. 9 sacks on the year. He is a force.
Yeah, but it's unfortunate, John, that as well as he's playing, nobody really gets to talk about him that much because he's with the Cleveland Browns. You know, they haven't had they probably haven't had a pass rush presence like that since what, Michael Dean? Am I going way back with that? Michael Dean? Am I being facetious when I say that? That's the only person I can think of right off the top of my head. Yeah, probably.
Michael Dean Perry.
Yes.
Michael Dean Perry.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Michael Dean Perry.
Michael
yes.
Michael Dean Perry, yes.
Yeah. It's been a while. So, yeah, but it's overshadowed with all the other problems and all the other woes that the Cleveland Browns have.
Right, which is a nonstop. But they've got a good young quarterback. I think that at some point the light will go off for Baker Mayfield. I'm impressed by what I have seen from him. He is what we saw in the Rose Bowl, if you were a Georgia fan. He's that guy that, yeah, you know, of course he's got that kind of attitude, but he and Nick Chubb are roomies together on the road, which I think is hilarious. Nick Chubb, we all know how good Nick Chubb has a potential to be. It wouldn't shock me. Maybe it's not next year, but it's the year after. It's good. Look, this Cleveland job, to a head coach, is going to be in a very attractive job, Hugh. Not only do you have Baker Mayfield and Nick Chubb, and you've got Emmanuel Ogba, you've got Myles Garrett, you know, Ogunjobi. I mean, Ogunjobi's a hell of a defensive tackle. You've got good players on all levels here. Plus, as it looks now, Hugh, you're going to have the potential to go out and get a top 3 pick again, or top 5 at the very least.
Yeah, just like I said, John, you've been drafting in the top 5 of the NFL draft for like the last couple of years. So eventually, that talent is going to come around for you, and it looks like that's the case. Like I said, the defense for the Cleveland Browns, they've been pretty good this year. You pointed out Myles Garrett with his 9 sacks and everything. It's just that they need to find some offense.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're talking about, I was looking at the stats, Jarvis Landry only had he had 6 catches for like 30 yards or something like that. You know, you got to do better. You have to do better in that department against the Kansas City Chiefs. And we know for a fact the Kansas City Chiefs defense, they're pretty porous. They got some holes in it. So, yeah, it was, it's one of those things where, you know, you have to play better. Excuse me, Jarvis Landry had 50 catches. I mean, 6 catches for 50 yards against Kansas City Chiefs.
The Cleveland Browns, the Atlanta Falcons, a 1 o'clock kick in Cleveland on Sunday. And, of course, full coverage on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We welcome into the program now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Dan Quinn, with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Hugh? What's up, John?
Hey, man.
You know, Coach, that screen, you had that screen game kind of going last week. What were you able to do that made the screen game so successful for you?
I think, number one, we came out of the bye knowing that that's another part of the game that's difficult to defend, you know, the run game, the play action, the screen. So it just so happened that, you know, the two of the most explosive guys, when you get chances to, get their hands on the football and make plays, was good. But I thought on the Julio's, it was just an excellent block by Jake Matthews, and you saw Garland and Schweitzer just hauling downfield to try and get to the safety. So it's the extra block, the downfield action, I thought made the big difference on those two plays.
We're talking with head coach Dan Quinn. Dan, broadly, the first half of the season, kind of your thoughts on the first half and expectation levels and whatnot. And I kind of want to expand that out, if I may, Coach, just because, you know, we're sitting around here talking about the team weathering the storm, and you guys did such a great job of weathering that storm that there seemed like after the Washington game you guys are ready to blast off.
Well, I think we're definitely improving, and there's still a lot out there for us to, you know, continue to put our work in. We're trying to work hard in our situation football to improve in that, you know, some of the red zone work, the, you know, the foreman at the end of the game, just small things that we're always kind of dialing in on each week. And then on a fundamental standpoint, like, this is when we ramp them up even more, where some people may back off them as the season goes. We try to stay stronger in that. But you're right that, you know, the roles have changed, but now we're getting to see some of these guys, become established in the roles that they have. And we've always kind of had the mindset to stay the course. We knew what we're doing was correct. We got really high standards for how we want to play. And when we don't meet them, those are tough times. But we're going to continue to work hard to get them right. And so that's how I see our team, the chemistry, the attitude they have, the confidence they have. It's definitely growing together, and I think it can keep growing as we're going.
You know, Coach, for the most part, Wes Weiss and Ben Garland, well, that offensive line as a whole, they did a really good job protecting Matt Ryan for the most part. How did they grade out last week?
Yeah, I thought, heading in is going to be a line of scrimmage day. Their defensive line, who I really, had studied on tape hard and knew a number of the players, I thought were really square and strong and had done an excellent job. And then on the offensive side, the way they were running the ball with Adrian Peterson and using, all the weapons that they had, I thought that was, a real, statement to say, hey, this is going to be a line of scrimmage day, and we need to have our best at hand. So I was pleased with Ben and Wes, especially at the guards, because of how stout and strong the guys are. It certainly helps you, when you're able to use the whole complement of the offense and quick game and screens and the run game, where you can keep a defense off balance. So I thought in that game, playing with the lead was going to be important for a team that really wanted to, kind of sit on the ball and run it and possess it as they've had in so many of their previous games.
You know, we certainly want to get into the Browns game with head coach Dan Quinn. Can you briefly give us a status update on the health of the club?
Sure. We're doing good in that shape. So Matt Bryant will kick on Thursday, and the injured guys are all back to some fashion of, participation, whether it's walkthrough or, maybe limited some today as we're going. But heading into the week, from a health standpoint, we're in good shape, and that hasn't happened for a while. So it's good for us to, kind of turn that corner from an injury standpoint and really get all the guys back on the practice field. So a couple guys limited, John, but for the most part, the health of the team is doing good.
I want to go back just to one moment in the Washington game before we talk about Cleveland. Your get back guy, did you have to tell him, don't hold me? Did you want to run down the field when Julio scored to jump into that pile?
Yeah, I think I said to the to the team, it was such a cool experience and one that wasn't planned. And those are usually the most fun when our team respects him so much because of the selfless leader that he is. So they had known he hadn't scored yet. So when he did, people were totally fired up. And I wish I was right there in the middle of it.
Talking with head coach Dan Quinn on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
Cleveland Browns, coach, only won two games this year. Only won two games, but defensively, they're pretty decent defensive squad. So what have you seen from them defensively that could give you problems?
Well, I think a couple of things. I mean, this team has really been in the fight, too. They've played four overtime games, if you can believe that. I think they're 1-2-1 in those games and lost a couple of other close ones, one to New Orleans, I believe. And but what I see from their team, one, I see speed that they have at a number of different spots. So they've got production and speed at the defensive line from pass rushing. The linebackers can really go, kind of led by Jamie Collins and Kirksey, and right in the middle of it. And then in the secondary, two excellent safeties, and Ward has been as advertised as a corner, that speed and his ability to play man-to-man and cover. So those were the things that jumped out to me. And above all of it, Hugh, 23 takeaways from their teams. That leads the league, and that probably is the thing that's been most impressive so far from their team. Getting 23 at a halfway mark, that's damn impressive.
Talking with Dan Quinn about the game against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Other side of the ball for Cleveland. What have you seen of Baker Mayfield? By the way, you're going to have a full complement in your defensive secondary this week. Rocky Alford will be back for you.
Yeah, Rock's going to get started in his practice this week, and so we'll have a better assessment after we go through a few days. But we'll just take him through the week and see where we're at. But the fact that he's out and going to get some practice reps, I think that's an excellent sign. What I've seen from Mayfield, I think this guy is a really tough competitor. You see him scramble his fourth down plays. He really has kind of that edge and toughness that you need at quarterback. He's an accurate thrower. You see him try to fit it in tight windows, and that's a guy who has confidence in his ability to throw it. When you say, okay, the guy's covered, and that's what the good ones do, and they still find the tight windows to throw. And then the last piece, I think he's got a quick release. So in the pocket with pressure or, a rusher coming near him, he's able to deliver the ball quickly. So from a quarterback standpoint, he certainly meets all the markers when you're looking for, the guys who have all the stuff, toughness, the accuracy, the confidence to throw it in tight windows. And then, he can really get it out of his hand quickly with a quick release, which always makes it tough.
Coach, what quarterback does Baker Mayfield remind you of, if you could compare him to any quarterback that's playing in the league right now or in the past?
Not from a competitive, not from a comparative standpoint, but the things that you like about him when you watch him, you are like, he's tough, man. He wants to go battle. He gets hit. He's up battling for it again. So outside the pocket, he's a dangerous guy. He can, he's got excellent quick feet to avoid the rush. And then as he can run, he can extend plays and throw it on the move. So I think he'd be in the pocket of quarterbacks, you know, that have quickness, that can move outside the pocket, but he's got the toughness that you oftentimes see in some of the older guys that have been through the battle. So he's got mobility. He can get outside on the edge. He's got a lot of toughness and then the quick release. So those are the things that kind of set him apart. And he's into that pocket of guys with really accurate, really tough, and a quick release.
Sound like a little bit like a little Brett Favre or a little Aaron Rodgers, a little bit of that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. The guys who can really get it out and that toughness. And you know that, man. To play quarterback in this league, you better have that part right, because sometimes you're going to be knowing that you got to take the hit, and there can be no flinch when you got to deliver the ball to where it has to go. And I think this guy has that for sure.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Already difficult to coach to scout a team you don't get a chance to see very often, and the Falcons certainly don't with the Browns. But then is it even more difficult this week because you have a new head coach, because they changed head coaches and offensive coordinators in the middle of the season? They're kind of brand new in these roles that they've got right now, and so you got to be kind of cautious as to what you might see on Sunday?
I think you have to, you know, be prepared for different looks for sure. From a scheme standpoint, at this time of the year, you know, both offensively, defensively, on special teams, you know, all the scheme part is intact. What makes it different is how the play callers choose which things that they like best. And so that part is the challenge, because there's a lot of teams that have similar offenses or defenses around the NFL, but what makes them different is how the coordinators feature the players within the system. And what do they do after a run or after a pass, or, you know, which runs do they like better than which passes do they like better? So they've got a big, you know, playbook, especially on defense, but offensively as well. And so how they choose to feature those guys in that spot, that makes it more challenging. But you just have to kind of go through the whole season, get all the looks to make sure you have it like you want it, because in 1 week's time or 2 weeks' time, you know, you certainly don't change the whole makeup of your system.
Boy, you head up to Cleveland, I would think a lot of optimism third quarter and starting in the second half of the season beginning, and this team feeling pretty good about itself, right, Coach?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, tough matchup, and that's what, you know, playing on the road and these kind of matchups you love. So, you know, we're putting the preparation in, and, you know, like I said, they've gone already through four overtime games. That's a team that's ready to go the distance as well. And so it'll be a tough matchup and one we're looking forward to getting rolling with.
Thank you, Coach. Do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Head Coach Dan Quinn on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, talking about the Falcons and the Cleveland Browns. And we'll kind of recap what we just heard from Coach Quinn and what it means heading to this showdown Sunday at 1 o'clock. This is John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.